The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
Hey, it didn't turn out for the Bears yesterday in a tough 23-17 overtime loss to the Seattle Seahawks at Soldier Field, but the Bears remain a playoff contender, the number 5 seed in the highly competitive NFC, and next up, a rematch with the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to talk about it all next on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Third and four from the 12. Cutler to throw in the gun. He's got Forte on the slant. 1 yard line. They're not saying he's in. They put him down inside the 1 yard line. But hey, he's laying in the end zone. They're going to discuss it here. Let's go, guys. Throw him up.
And they eventually did. He never was touched. Matt Forte with his first receiving touchdown of the season put the Bears up 14-10. Did not stand up, however, in a loss to the Seahawks. Welcome into Bears Insider featuring head coach Lovie Smith. Jeff Joniak with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Good evening. How are you?
Doing okay.
Just okay, yep. Just okay. But it's been more than 24 hours, right? So it's on.
Jeff. You can't let them beat you twice, you know?
Yeah, last night you said the loss, in your words, hurt. Just how bad was the pain in watching that all over again? And is that almost even tougher to deal with when you're just looking for one stop in any of those two drives at the end of the game, really?
You know, all losses are tough, and it's hard to tell, you know, which one is harder than the other. I just know it's the last one, and we had opportunities. We let one slip away. All those things, all those feelings, of course, we've gone through in the last, 24 or so hours, you know.
All right, so on those drives, did you see things that could have been done to stop it, or was this guy just feeling like he had you guys off balance? And I'm talking about Russell Wilson, who put on quite a show.
First off, Russell Wilson, and just not Russell. I mean, they had time to do a lot of the things. Their line did a good job, and all their team did. But they did have us off balance. But, of course, there were a lot of opportunities that we had. I mean, and it normally goes that way. We got them to third down quite a few times. We've normally been good on third down situations like that. And I know at least two or three times we had them fourth down also and couldn't convert.
And so the way they ran the option, and you've seen it. I mean, it's not like you haven't seen it. Was there anything unique to it in the way they did it? They just saw things that were available, and he took them.
We've seen all those things before. Just didn't play them as well as we need to yesterday.
All right. Missed tackles, obviously, another thing. Too many, obviously, or was it not as bad as we're looking at it now?
No, everything was as bad as we thought leaving, doing. Of course, leaving last night and the day, every time you watch the video, you get the same results. Didn't tackle well. Didn't do a lot of things well, really, that we normally do. And that's what you have to take. Things we normally do better, we didn't do yesterday.
Injury toll, what's it looking like?
A few injuries, you know, from the game. Of course, Chris Conte couldn't play the game, most of the game. Brian Urlacher went out with a hamstring injury. Of course, those hurt. Tim Jennings, shoulder injury. That hurt also. Start to get some guys back, though. That's a positive thing. Alshon Jeffrey, of course, hopefully. Chris Spencer. Hopefully Devin Hester, some guys like that. Hopefully we can get back.
Yeah, receiver position, any position, if you start getting more than a couple, it starts to really wear you thin. But you do have guys with experience still. Sonsenbacher, if everybody forgets that he did play all last season. And Weems has been around a while, so you were still able to go to bat with those guys. But the performance of Jay Cutler yesterday and Brandon Marshall, in spite of the loss, that's two very, very impressive games by Cutler and Marshall, consistent all season.
Yeah, we're disappointed in a lot of things that happen, and I understand everyone wants to talk about that. We want to talk about it, but you do have to look at some of the positives. And Jay's play, you mentioned last couple weeks, it was just exceptional yesterday. Gave us an opportunity to win right up until, of course, the last time, we had the ball offensively, they kept us in the game, and we just need to get a stop to get our offense back on the field. Brandon Marshall, I mean, they knew we were going to throw it to him a lot yesterday, and couldn't do a whole lot about it. The offensive line, you know, a few new starters on it. You know, offensive line as a whole, you know, gave Jay time, you know, to do a lot of those things. Getting the running game going. So there were a lot of positives. Third down conversions on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of things we'll take from that.
And we'll dig into that a little bit in our second segment. Coming up in our third segment in about 10 minutes or so, special teams coordinator Dave Tobe. You can ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota. It might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night Live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. And if the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card. So use the hashtag BearsToyota.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Here's the snap. Back to Jay, stepping up. Jay now at late pressure coming, dodges. Now throws. Open. Marshall makes the grab. Turning it upfield to 40, 35-yard line, out of bounds! And the Bears are still alive in Chicago! Brandon Marshall made the grab, stops the clock with 9 seconds left.
56-yard throw, catch and run, Cutler to Marshall. Bears in position for a game-tying field goal, ending regulation even at 17. The play of the week is brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears, with Lovie Smith. And I saw the highlights last night on our TV show on Fox, Bears Game Night Live, and you were sprinting. You were running stride for stride with B. Marsh.
What an exciting time to, you out of it. You know,
it was dead.
Down,
it was dead.
But you have a few more plays, and we had, you know, of course, you only had one thing to do there: go deep and throw it up. What a great throw! What a great catch! Gave us a chance to win.
After the touchdown by Tate that gave them the lead, Tom Thayer, and I got to give him his props. He says, no big deal. He goes, Bears will get a field goal, go into overtime, and win the game. Didn't turn out exactly like that, but are we assuming that was just an ad lib play, because that's the way it was kind of described, draw it up in the sand and go?
No. Yeah. In those situations, you can say that because there's only one thing for you to do.
Yeah.
You're not going to run a couple crossing routes. You're going to send everybody deep and throw it up. Similar to how you would do at the end of the game, a Hail Mary pass. But for us, and you have a big guy like Brandon, and you have a guy like Jay that can get throw the ball the length of the field, you do have a chance, and we did.
Some of Jay's moves in the pocket yesterday, or even leaving the pocket, he made guys break ankles. Yeah. That move in the pocket there to come free, it's subtle. Everything is subtle. Showing a lot doing that here in the last two games, and feeling, you could just, it's just a confidence again. We brought up last week, and really throwing some accurate balls. One could have been picked. Brandon Marshall stopped that from happening early in the game. Great play. That was a great play. But, you know, Jay, you got to feel good about that right now.
No, you mentioned it. And he's a great athlete, and he'll never get his credit for the type of athlete that he is. But the one move that he had a lot of good runs yesterday. Of course, a lot of great passes, but he had some great runs. But the one where he faked, you know, their safety, he's a, you know, Pro Bowl player, and he made him look, you know, almost like he was, you know, he was trying to try out for the team yesterday. Great. But that's what he's capable of doing, and keep plays going to give the receivers. And our receivers know that they have to stay active, because even if, you know, if it breaks down a little bit, he'll keep a play alive.
Next step. And there have been opportunities, and you can go back. I know you don't like going back, but you can go back to the Green Bay game. You can go back to the Houston game. You can go back to this game where a play or two could be made offensively with somebody other than Brandon, and it just doesn't happen when the opportunity's there. And you only get a handful of game. And bam, yesterday, and we're not picking on him, but the throw to Bennett was outstanding. Bennett didn't make the play there. The fourth and one conversion didn't happen. So does that still give you reason to believe that this offense is capable of scoring more than they are? And I would imagine you feel you have to score more than you have to be that playoff team and move deep in the playoffs.
Yes, we feel like we have to score more. 17 points isn't enough, but the two you mentioned, if we can convert on fourth down, we had momentum right there, you know, up 7-0 to get it 14-0. You mentioned Earl's play. Great job, Earl, to find the ball. Jay to get it to him, for Earl to find the ball. Got to make that catch, you know. possibility of seven more. So we had opportunities, and next time we're in those positions, those situations, we will convert.
You mentioned the offensive line before the break. Do you feel that you're getting enough there right this minute? And you do everything by game, quarter by quarter performance, showing signs in the running game of busting out as well.
Yes. You have to be pleased with what the offensive line was able to do. Gabe Karimi, first full game at the guard position. For him to come in and play the way he did. Edwin Williams also. Jonathan Scott seemed like he's an old vet now, and, he hasn't been starting that long. Jamarcus Webb, of course, Roberto Garza. But that group held strong, really, throughout and gave us a chance.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith. Joined this week by special teams coordinator Dave Tobe. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Publish sends the punt in the air. Leon Washington back deep inside the five. It bounces in. The Bowman peps it back at the 1 yard line to Sherrick McManus. Bowman may have made one of the plays of the game right there.
That's what we were thinking. It actually was the 3 yard line, and a well done job by Adam Podler, Zach Bowman, and Sherrick McManus set up beautifully. But a 97 yard drive led to the points on the board for Seattle to take the lead in regulation. The Bears tied it, and they fall in overtime 23-17. Welcome back into Bears Insider. Jeff Joniak with you, and head coach Lovie Smith, and special teams coordinator Dave Tobe. You can't draw it up any better than that. On that particular play.
Yeah, they really did a good job executing the play. First thing they did, which was really good, was ran the clock all the way down to like 2 seconds before they snapped. And that goes, the veteran leadership that we have out there, with Pat Manley and, just getting that ball snapped at 2 seconds left. And, really great punt by Adam, 4-7-5 hang time. Gave our guys a chance to get down there to be able to down it. Bowman kept it out of the end zone, and Sherrick was Johnny on the spot to catch it there at the 2 yard line. So, good play overall.
Explain the difficulty, because you don't know how the ball's going to hop when it does fall to the turf that Bowman has to be ready for. He puts his back to the goal line and then hopes.
Yeah, you defend the goal line. Basically, you try to get, obviously you got to find the football first and make sure the guy's not going to return it. Once you're sure that he's not going to return it, then you're defending the goal line. So, you want to put yourself in between and basically be a shortstop in there and make sure the ball doesn't bounce by you and keep it in play as number one, and then hope that, your guys are in position to be able to down it.
Is the key to the whole thing, though, the hang time in this particular case?
Hang time.
Time to get there.
Yeah, hang time is the key, because, you got to give your, gunners a chance to get down there. If you don't get the hang time, the ball's on the ground, they can return it, number one, and the other thing, it could bounce into the end zone, so... really well-executed play on that play.
Overall this season, Adam's hang time has not been in that range. But is that just for that particular style of punt, or do you prefer more hang? What do you prefer, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, anytime you get a 4-7-5 hang time, that's a good punt anywhere on the field. But in that situation there, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for anything over a 4-5, 4.5-second hang time. That allows your guys ample enough time to get down there.
Outstanding return man in Leon Washington. 8 kick return touchdowns in his career. A threat was the week before against Miami. What was the game plan for him?
Get him on the ground.
But also keep it out of his hands.
Four
touchbacks by Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie, we go into the game. We go into the game not thinking we're going to get touchbacks. We have to plan that we have to cover every kick. And when Robbie kicks a touchback, that's really a bonus for us. So, we can't just count on that.
Well, he's had 40, right?
He's had, yeah.
40 touchbacks.
Yeah,
that's top 10.
Yeah, he's in the top. I think he's in the top 5, I believe.
He was 6 going into the game.
Yeah. So, I think he moved up.
So you just can't count on that?
Well, we don't go in the game plan. Sorry, Robbie's going to kick 5 touchbacks. You just don't know. I mean, he might not be hitting the ball. We have to plan on covering every kick. And our guys worked hard in practice. We were ready for him, had he gotten the ball in his hands, but we'll take touchbacks any day.
You put out of there and get him start from the 20-yard line. That's what happened, obviously, in overtime. So the kick, though, 45 yards, you felt pretty comfortable. His range, not a lot of wind, if any, yesterday. Was that And at South End, he's had a lot of game-winning kicks. More of his game-winning kicks have come at Soldier
Seems
Field
to be,
in the South End.
Yeah.
And we had that discussion before the game in the locker room. I stopped by, and he was in there eating breakfast. And we were talking about that very thing.
Yeah.
So
it's,
more South End than North End, for whatever reason. Maybe more opportunities on the South End. I don't know.
Yeah, right. I mean, it just seems to work out that way. It's kind of weird. Maybe it's the way we start the game. I don't know. But, yeah, he's you know, we can count on Robbie in those situations. And that was a big kick for us to be able to get it into overtime, you know, and give us a chance.
As the season goes on, in terms of his range, it's game by game based on how you see him kick. But because of the unique weather yesterday, 60s in December, you give him more distance in those scenarios versus what might be coming here in the next few weeks?
Yeah, definitely. The cold weather has a drastic impact.
Just deadens the ball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, deadens the ball. It doesn't fly as far. Usually in December, you know, we're not banging over 50 yarders. But, you know, Robbie's leg strength is, I actually believe it's improving as he's gotten older. I think
Why?
He works out hard. He takes care of his body. We also have a great coach that coaches him every day, and his name is Kevin O'Day, and he does a great job with his technique and making sure that he's hitting the sweet spot of the ball all the time and making sure his technique is sound. Kevin's just like a golf coach, you know, a swing coach for a golfer. You know, sometimes those guys get out of sync sometimes, and Kevin will get them back straight again.
And same goes for the punter. In terms
punter
of that
too. Same
yeah, philosophies.
Both of those guys. Yep. And he's really done a good job with Adam. Adam had a little bit of a slump probably about 3-4 weeks ago, and Kevin really, you know, kind of took it under his wing and took him under his wing and got him straightened out, and now Adam's back on track.
We had some misassignments, and we let him roll out. I mean, our whole plan was to keep him bottled in, but it was working kind of at times, and then sometimes it would break down and just be a guy just kind of doing his own thing, and, you know, it showed in that fourth and OT.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith and special teams coordinator Dave Tobe. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And thanks for joining us, everybody. It's Bears Insider at 7:33 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. That was Henry Melton taking us out of break. You heard what he had to say, coach. Was there some ad-libbing going on at times?
You know, we didn't execute the way we needed to at times, you know. Kind of simple at it. We're all a part of it. We'll get it right this week.
And in terms of, you know, mobile quarterbacks have been somebody, or not somebody, but have been the type of player that you enjoy playing as a defense and you feel you're equipped to deal with them. Was there anything unique and special about Russell Wilson? And how would you rate him based on the other rookie quarterbacks that you've already faced, Andrew Luck? You faced RG3 in the preseason. Granted, it's a preseason, and I'm sure you've seen, you know, highlights of some of the other guys like Ryan Tannehill and so forth. Just from a poise, they're all different players, right?
Yeah, they are. But, you know, we saw Luck and Griffin early on when they were just excited about being
babies
in the league then. So we're seeing Russell Wilson when he's been a quarterback for a while. He played well yesterday against us, so, of course, we're high on him. He made plays, athletic quarterbacks. We should be able to handle because our defense is set up that way. We have athletes on our defensive line. We don't have big slugs playing that can't run. So, but again, yesterday it just didn't work out that way.
And in terms of those young quarterbacks have moved into starting roles immediately, is this the wave now? Is this what's coming in to the league?
I think you have to acknowledge what young quarterbacks can do. Seem like most of them are having, not seem like, most of them are
All
having
them.
Success too. So, I think this is the way the league is going.
That's Bears head coach Lovie Smith. Now let's talk special teams with Dave Tobe. We already broke down some of the kicking game yesterday. Overall, how do you feel the special teams unit has performed in 2012? You've had pretty good consistency in terms of bodies, maybe versus other years, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that is the key, Jeff, is keeping the same guys, and we've been very healthy. You know, except for the last 2 weeks, we've got hit a couple, you know, with some a couple injuries there. But we've been healthy. We've been playing consistent in coverage, you know, punt coverage and kickoff coverage. Not real happy and not real pleased, and the guys know, and they're not pleased either with our return game. You know, we feel like we're leaving a lot of plays on the field out there. You know, sometimes it's just one or two blocks here and there, and we're just not getting guys free. And you know, we need to get that going before the year is done.
Is that also part of what the other team is doing scheme wise? I mean, what's different, I guess? How are they attacking the Bears? Even if Devin's not there or not, what are they doing to your scheme?
We're seeing different schemes. I mean, you know, we never see the same thing, you know, what we see on tape, you know, the weeks before. So we have to adjust, but that's normal. We just have to block better. You know, we have to do a better job of blocking. We have to do a better job, you know, catching the ball when we need to catch it and get upfield when we're supposed to get upfield.
How difficult was Ryan's ball, especially when he did it rugby style yesterday?
It's the guys are used to it. Yeah. You know, everybody has a rugby kick now, so you know it's kind of normal. You know, to be able to catch that kick. Just a couple things with Eric. I mean, Eric's a little rusty still back there. You know, and probably a little bit nervous. You know, it's a big game. He doesn't want to make a mistake. You know, he didn't. You know, a couple times, you know, the ball hit the ground, you know, that we don't want to see happen. But, you know, he'll get better over time. Hopefully that happens, and then hopefully we get Devin back, you know, and, you know, sooner than later.
Yeah, would you say that's a pretty good bet, or again, just wait and see?
Let's wait and see, but we're hopeful.
All right. In terms of these rugby-style punts, do they dive on you differently than a regular ball?
They come down like a kickoff, and they come straight down. It's end over end ball, and when it hits the ground, you just don't know where it's gonna go because it could hit and go forward, it could hit and go backwards. So that's why we don't want to let them hit the ground, you know, and we don't want to take a chance that ball hits and goes for extra yardage.
Give us an idea on some of the guys that have come on the unit for the first time this year and guys that have made progress, like significant progress. I keep hearing about JT Thomas for one.
Yeah, JT Thomas is a young player that gets better each week. You know, we're really pleased with his progress. But two of the guys that are newcomers to our team that really had a great impact is Blake Costanzo and Eric Weems. Both of them are, you know, coming in, we knew that they were really good special teams players. And, you know, and they definitely are fulfilling that role for us.
They're tone setters, too, because invariably, almost every opening kickoff of either half, one of the two guys is jawing with somebody or pushing with somebody. So do you like that physicality and that toughness?
Yeah,
as long as it doesn't draw a flag.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't draw a flag, it's good. You know, the thing that they jaw each other, too. You know, they're very competitive amongst each other, to who's making tackles and who's getting doubled, who isn't. And you know, it's actually a lot of fun because it creates competition for a room and everybody else feeds off.
Have they quickly ascended to be leaders on a veteran unit that has guys like Robbie and Adam and Patrick and some other guys that have been here
a while? We had those guys as leaders, you know, in our room. But these guys came in and in a short period of time, they proved themselves over probably a period of two games that they showed us that they can play and they talk a good game and they show up and play too.
What is the key, in your opinion, to a 9-year period of success in punt coverage to be number one in the NFL and under 7 yards a return over a period of 9+ seasons?
I think it has a lot to do with our, you know, what our scheme is, what we ask our punters to do. We're a directional punt team, so we want our punters to keep the ball outside the numbers, and our coverage kind of goes along with that. And you know, we're not going to bomb the ball. You know, we're not like some teams, like for example, Minnesota. You know, they'll take a 70-yard punt and then hopefully get them tackled at, you know, at 50. You know, giving up 20 yards. We don't want the returner to have the ball in his hand that long. When we want to have coverage at the ball when he's catching it.
It's like the home run hitter or the quarterback who can sling it. There's a lot of oohs and ahs when a guy bangs a punt like some of these guys, and the legs are getting stronger in the league. All those guys in the AFC West, for example, are bangers. You would call them bangers.
Yeah, I just, you know, our philosophy, though, is we don't want the returner to have the ball in his hand to take a shot on goal, you know, and have a chance to hit that thing full speed at your coverage. We want the guy just getting started when we're getting down there to cover it. So that's our philosophy.
Also, you know, you must give your tip of the cap to the ability to block field goals and extra points, also number one since 2004. Some of that is the size of the guys you're bringing in from Izzy to Pep, and both of those guys among the league leaders in that category over their careers. Is that just a small part of it?
That's a big part of it. You know, you got to have the horses to do it, and we got them. The other thing is effort. You guys play with high effort, you know, and everything that we do, it's something that we preach all the time, and the guys are buying into what we do, and they play hard every down. They never take a play off, and it shows up.
Do you sense because of the type of special teams unit you put together here and for a long period of time that teams, you say, show you something different from what they show on tape? That sounds normal, but do they try a little harder?
I think they do, you know, to be honest with you. I think, you know, having Devin Hester back there, that it certainly gets your attention, you know, when the coach is standing up in front of their room and saying this is the best returner in the history of the game and how are we going to stop them, and the guys use that as a motivational tool, and you know, and they come in and we're going to get everybody's A game. Every game we get everybody's best game, and we know that.
And from the Ian Badejos, to the Corey Grahams and guys you've helped get to the Pro Bowl, by what you guys are doing here, are there anybody on the cusp of doing that in 2012 that you would say you could put your gold stamp on and say, hey, you know what, this guy's Pro Bowl caliber?
Blake Costanzo.
Okay.
Hands down, is having a great year. He's our leading tackler. He draws the double. You know, how can you tell? You can always tell the best player by the guy that's getting double teamed. And he gets double teamed every down. And it frustrates him sometimes, but that's the ultimate respect that you get as an NFL player, is when they take two NFL players to block one. So, you know, he's getting that respect, and it's well-deserved.
Not yet a trick up your sleeve, obviously, against Minnesota just two games ago, and now you get them again. Can they retaliate with something special, too? Are you
yes,
always
they can.
On,
I
you're
mean,
always
what,
on the watch
that's
now.
The first thing we're going to talk about,
yeah.
You know, with the guys, is that, you know, we did hit them with the fake, and they'll probably come with something for us, you know. So we have to be ready, and then we also have to have something ready for them.
Special teams coordinators. I don't know. And to
we're devious. That's
yes, and I think that if it happens, I'm going to get you back.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just thinking
that's how it
might be. You think that's the case?
No question. No question.
Oh man, it's fun stuff. And Lovey, I have to bring this up before we send Dave on his way, because he's complimented you obviously over the years about making sure, really from the moment you got here, how important it was. But where did you decide as a head coach to spend so much time and give so much time to special teams? Because not every head coach does that. Let's just be honest. It's not that way. Why? What became important to you when you got this job? You know, I am going to make sure I have a great special teams unit and dedicate time to it.
Well, because we, you know, Jeff, pretty simple. I mean, we wanted to win. And you look, I mean, that's a phase of the game that – you can win, and we have won. We have a history now. I mean, as Dave said, guys want to come here and play on our special teams. You get a chance to play with it's not every day you get a chance to play with the greatest return of all time. You get a chance to block for him. And just knowing when you come here, we are going to put an emphasis on special teams, whether it's coverage, whether it's the return games. You know, Dave and Kevin, you just look at all of the different fakes we've used throughout. In every game, there's a chance we could have a fake that we're going to use, and everybody knows that.
And are you as proud of those numbers and accomplishments that helps you win games in your career as you are of things that have gone on in the other two sides of the ball?
Of course we are. And again, we have a history now. You can look at it on paper and just think about all the games we won based on how we played in that third phase. Everybody talks about, hey, is offense, defense, and special teams. You hear a lot of lip service to that, but not with us.
Lastly, chance that Harvin plays changes a lot of things, doesn't it?
We'll prepare for Harvin. You know, Sherrill's is very good, too. You know, the guy they put in there. But Harvin is a different animal. He is by far the best kick returner that we'll face this year. So if we prepare for him, we'll be ready for anybody.
Does he have a shot then as he continues on if he stays healthy? And he's had some issues having to stay healthy but become – you know, arguably one of the best of all time at that, because
yes.
Right now Leon Washington has the record with Josh Cribbs, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. He's, you know, he strikes fear in every special teams coordinator. You know, when you just put the tape on, it's amazing how fast he can get to the edge.
All right, well, don't be scared tonight, all right?
Yeah, I'll try to get some sleep.
All right, Dave Tope, thank you very much. We'll be back with Lovie Smith in the final segment of Bears Insider after this break on News Radio 780 at 105.9 FM WBBM.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
It doesn't happen very often. You know, us lose a fourth quarter game like that. We've got to do a better job at offense, miss some opportunities, and then we had a 4-minute drive there to kind of to ice the game. We ended up having to punt. So offensively, we never should have been in that position, I don't think.
And that is Bears quarterback Jay Cutler off yesterday's loss to the Seahawks at Soldier Field. Final minutes here with Bears head coach Lovie Smith at 7:49 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Just listening to Dave Tobe, to me it's a fascinating phase of the game. There's so many moving parts in special teams. And frankly, because of injuries or your decisions in terms of the needs on offense and defense, he really doesn't know most weeks what really is going to be available to him. But he's got to come up with a scheme and guys have to fill roles. So I always enjoy talking to Dave and I find it very interesting. How about you in terms of special teams and your experience with it over the years? And did you ever coach at any level special teams?
Yes, I did. I used to be the special teams coordinator back at the University of Wisconsin way back in the day, at Arizona State way back in the day, at the University of Kentucky.
I did not know
at
that.
At Tennessee way back in the day. So had some experience. Even when I went to NFL for the first year down in Tampa, coached the right side of the punt team. So yeah, I've had experience with it and know exactly what you can do with it. And for our guys, you know, just Dave and Kevin do a great job. And it is important here. Just like each week, Jeff, when we start putting our numbers together, you know, on our 46-man active roster on game day. I mean, there is a certain amount of offensive guys that we're going to have up, a certain amount of defensive guys that we're going to have up. And there's a certain amount of core players, special teams players, that we'll dress, you know, if they have a role that, you know, that we define. Like this past week, we brought up Patrick Trahan for the first time. We brought him up on, you know, put him on the 53 to the 46-man active roster, and he played. So all that goes and comes into play each week.
Did you enjoy those roles? I no wonder you have so much regard for special teams since you were in that position. I was not aware of that, or I forgot one of the two.
No, I did enjoy it, especially the different places I was. You know, back then, the punt return. You know, we had great punt returners. You know, the different places punt block also really enjoyed that phase of it. And then the defensive part of me really loved just the kickoff. And because it's just, you know, everything is pure about the kickoff, you know, especially back in the day where, you know, there were, you know, you had the wedges and things like that. There's a certain breed of athlete that played on special teams. It's a lot like that right now. Dave talked about the competition with Eric Weems and Blake Costanzo. It's like that. I mean, guys, they really take pride in being on those special teams.
Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Here with Lovie Smith, our remaining moments, getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings and round two with them. I don't remember, and Greg Miller, our producer and director of Bears Broadcasting, doesn't remember, aside from a playoff scenario where, you know, sometimes you play the last regular season game and then the first round of the playoffs, playing a team twice in 3 weeks within your division. Do you recall this at any point, and how do you feel about it?
Besides the playoffs, we did that once back when I was in Tampa. We played them and then played them again. But I don't want to go to the team we play, mention their name too much. But, it normally doesn't happen an awful lot like that. First time, of course, lately, of course, since I've been a head coach, that we've had to play a team and a division opponent, you know, of course, it would have to be a division opponent this quick. But that's how it goes. We both know each other well. There aren't a whole lot of surprises, though, between the two of us. Little tweaks here and there. We did tweak them a little bit with the fake on the extra point last time. But normally it's just a pretty basic game.
Do you have to, though, prepare for, I guess the term would be somebody coming at you left-handed, where they drastically change something that you hadn't seen before at any point, and maybe even in the weeks leading up to it, it's in some coach's head, hey, I'm gonna try and fool them pretty significantly here. I don't know how you prepare for that, but do you have to keep that in the back of your mind? And same for them, for you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, Jeff. I mean, yeah, you have to. Of course, it's the first time we've been in this situation, but we have to. You could go either way.
Yeah.
And, of course, they don't know which way we're going to go. We have a plan, but we've had a plan. The thing about it, we knew this sequence was coming up. We've had a long time to prepare for it. And so, again, Sunday we'll see.
Does it matter to you? Do you care that it's this close in proximity?
No, that doesn't matter at all. And it really, with a division opponent, we have home field advantage. They have home field advantage one game. So it really doesn't matter at all.
I'll know this, though. Short memories become shorter in a situation like this for things that happen in the game, good and bad.
You know, good and bad, they do. But, again, for us, we play each other so much and know each other so well. I don't think it's a big deal.
In terms of some of the other things that you're looking at as you look at the broad picture, which you did today at your news conference, the facts are the facts. 8-4, 5-seed right now, and 3 division games that you could take out and decide the fate of the entire NFC North and a position in the conference. Albeit, though, with the knowledge that you've lost 3 of your last 4. How do you balance that moving forward into the big picture of what you have to do?
Yeah, I don't look at losing 3 of the last 4. Our record is we're an 8-4 team. So,
but isn't there something to be made from momentum?
No.
No.
Nope. You start over each game. I wish that was the case. We would never have lost. We had a lot of momentum, and we lost some games. So you can't really carry it over, which is a good thing for us. But I think you can just look at where we are. We're getting ready to start out the fourth quarter of our season, and we're 8-4. We're in position. We don't have to rely, to me, to be 8-4 right now, we have to rely on what everyone else does. That's when you're in a tough situation, a tough position. But we're not. We control our own destiny, and that's the only thing you can ask, by playing division opponents. You know, we have 1 at home and 2 on the road. And, of course, another NFC opponent in there, too. Then get any better than this. For us to get into the playoff, this is how you should have to get into the playoff. In order to get into the playoffs, you need to be playing your best ball right now, and that's what we plan on doing.
Do you also need, and I know how you hesitate to single out a person or a phase, but in December, if you want to be a playoff contender and go to the play, do you need a hot quarterback? Because you have one brewing right now in Jay Cutler, I think that's safe to say.
Yes, and I, you know, that's a layup you threw me, Jeff, with ours, because we have a great quarterback who's playing exceptional football. And but seriously, yes, we you do need that, a great quarterback playing, you know, his best ball. But you need a running game, and you need your stars to be stars, you know, to stand up. And you need the role players to really step up. You need your entire team, because you never know, you know, the games that we've lost, and even the games we've won, is one play here or there, and anybody's capable of making that play.
If you had to rate your concern defensively based on the erosion due to some potential injuries or just overall performance or how you were attacked yesterday, how would you rate it on a scale? If you could?
It's just, to me, it's just pass-fail. There's no more than that. And
there's no, it's black and white, right?
Yeah, it's disappointment, and it's not disappointment. It's as simple as that. We're disappointed in everything that happened yesterday on how we played defensively. I think if you talk to all of the guys to a man, that's what they would say. But they can't wait to get back out on the practice field. They're going to fix it, though. We're going to fix it, and I think that's what we'll do.
Oh, I have one more thing to take care of here business-wise. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. Just a couple of more minutes here with Bears head coach Lovie Smith. So Adrian Peterson goes off again. He's done it many times, getting better, it seems. You worry maybe at home and on that surface, but is there a momentum for a back like that? Does he build off of that? Or does it matter? Does that matter in this case at all? Either
I want to say the same thing, Jeff. I say you're a good football player. You're not. Adrian Peterson is one of the best football players in our league. He's been like that forever. We played against him. We know what we need to do when we play him. We have to be ready to play every down, or he can go the distance the way he did against the Packers last week.
As fans and as announcers, do you, as a coach and a fan of the game that you love so much, do you enjoy trying to stop stars like that? Is that part of the fun?
To a man, you'd love playing against the best at all times, and we're going to get a chance to play against one of the best.
All right, love you. Good luck. Have a good week. That's Bears head coach Lovie Smith. Special thanks to Bears director of broadcasting Greg Miller and producers Joanne Jeanette and Andy Gersher. For Bears head coach Lovie Smith and special teams coordinator Dave Tobe, I'm Jeff Joniak. Bears pregame starts at 9 a.m., kickoff at noon from the Metrodome. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.